This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And are we alone? Hi, Matt.
I think she's there. Hi.
Firstly, welcome to Australia. I hope you're enjoying it. How's your time been so far?
It's been. I've just been catching up with friends, really, and then we went out for dinner last night, and then I've just been on the beach for a couple of hours this morning. So yeah, just enjoying the weather, really.
Excellent. Now we are also joined by one of my co-hosts, Jen Piper. Just jumping in there. Say hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
The infamous bi bad humour.
Yeah. Pun it up. Oh, speaking of, sorry to just totally hijack, speaking of biculture, excellent jacket.
Thank you. It's all the pins.
Carry on.
Matt, so I'll do a quick intro just for the show. Have you had a chance to listen to any of our podcasts or get an idea of where Joy is first and at the moment only bi show on the station? And I think we're one of three bi-specific podcasts that exist in the world, which is quite exciting.
As
I'm sure you would have already seen from some of the social media, the show that you've just been in, the Bi Life, has been just everyone's been like, oh my god, yes, the
talk about out. A bi-splosion, right?
Oh my gosh. So I'll just do
I think it had. I think that it's been had such a perception.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of goes to show how much desire there is people to kind of see this on television and to hear the word. Now, I'm just going to do it quick. So this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. My name's Ruby.
I'm Jennifer.
And we are very excited to be joined by Matt from the UK, who was one of the contestants on The Bi Life, a show that is airing in Australia on the 30th on the E! Channel, which is extremely exciting. I did get to see a sneak peek. Jen hasn't yet, so I'm going to try and ask questions without spoiling it.
And I will try to contain my jelly.
But so, Matt, you are... When you did your introduction on the program, can I ask first, so why did you decide to try out for The Bi Life? Why did you decide that you wanted to get involved with the show?
I think the reason why I first and foremost went for it is because I am all up for new experiences and I'm very comfortable in my sexuality. So when I was approached to go on the show and heard about the concept and how it was going to involve Courtney and Shane and how we were going to be in there with like-minded people, I really just jumped at the chance because my friends aren't really the same sexuality as me, so I've never really been in a group of like-minded people from the community before. Yep. So that's one of the main reasons that I jumped to do the show.
That's a pretty common theme amongst bi-plus, multi-gender attracted people, certainly the ones I know in Australia, because we kind of straddle two worlds. We end up without a world of our own. Is that something that's common in the UK, that bi-plus people perhaps don't necessarily have that core group of friends who share similar sexual or gender identity?
And the community hubs and places to go to that are quite explicitly for people who are bi and pan and multi-gender attracted?
I think, yes, it was definitely what is in the UK as well. Like, when we went into the house and we were talking about not having many friends, or we did have friends in the community that were either gay or lesbian, there was never really that many people, or even myself, that knew anyone that really was bisexual. So it was definitely, it was nice to be surrounded by like-minded people, and it was something new and fresh for me as well.
It's kind of wild, isn't it, that
we've got to go onto a reality TV show to find other bias.
But we know that statistically there are more of us than any other letter in the LGBTQIA plus rainbow. And yet, I know when I lived in the UK, you could barely get a cup of coffee without tripping over a gay bar, much the same in Melbourne. So there's heaps of us, but we seem to be hidden in the shadows. We're like Daredevil or the Phantom.
Both of whom I canon as bisexual.
Yeah, I think that is definitely the case. And I think that was one of the main reasons as well that I wanted to get involved with doing the show, is because it is a underrepresented minority. And I think it was also to people to hear my story, so I could, if I could help one person come out, or I realise who they were or be comfortable in saying that they were bisexual. That was one of the main reasons that I did the show, and it was the same for lots of the other contestants on there as well, and a lot of my peers in there. And I think they felt the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And so on the show, when you introduced, you talked about how your last relationship had been with a woman, and that had been quite a long relationship. Now, did you find that being in what appeared to be, to outsiders, a heterosexual relationship made it harder to participate in, you know, the general LGBTIQA plus community, or that you felt maybe not quite as comfortable in those spaces?
Well, I think with me, because I did have a long-term relationship with girls and I did date girls, especially when I was younger, and I've carried on doing that. But my main focus has been really dating men. And it has been in certain situations where maybe those relationships haven't lasted. So I've always compared them to my heterosexual relationships. So that's why going into the house and going in on dates with both girls and women, it kind of, and then talking about my experiences in the past with, say, Courtney and Shane and then the other people in the house, it did really help me understand where I was at, because especially under the LGBTQ plus umbrella, it's not necessarily when that you say you're bisexual that you are 50-50 attracted to each sex. Especially when we were talking with everyone else in the house, people are at different stages and a way of explaining their how they identify as being bisexual and which they are attracted to the most and which they're most comfortable with. So it was definitely interesting to speak to everyone in the house and understand where they were at and how they identified and where their attractions were.
It's quite an extraordinary thing, I imagine, to all of a sudden have access to, and not just access to, be forced to have access to, a bunch of people who are somewhere on the journey that you're on, and then to all be looked after by somebody who is not only multigender attracted but is gender fluid themselves. It's like that beautiful thing of, well, do you know what? All gender bets are off. We're just human. How are you feeling? Where are you up to? What do you think you are?
Some pretty serious binary busting going on there. I suppose, you know, you mentioned this was really your first time being with other people who were bi and just talking about all the experiences you've had with being bisexual. And again, as I was saying, hearing the word was just so affirming because, you know, as we often joke about on the show, the difference between a unicorn and a bisexual is you'll see a unicorn on television, not a horse that doesn't like labels. So it was really amazing to see. And so what did you have any discoveries, or did you come out of the house with a different relationship to your sexuality? Or you mentioned you were already pretty confident in who you were, but did you feel maybe it was easier to celebrate that, or to feel like it was something that you could build community around?
I think one of the main things for me, and you'll see this on the show specifically, is what I came out of the house, one of the main things that I learned was that although I'm comfortable in my sexuality and then being in the house with people that I necessarily wouldn't have even met before, and that it was a big factor on sexuality and how comfortable people were talking about it. It stemmed back from people's upbringing, to their relationships, to their friends, and the way that they were actually socialised, which was the big impact. And the big thing that I took away from that as well, and also with my day-to-day relationships, because a lot of the things that I found was when I was, say, dating a girl, dating a guy, and say the relationship didn't work out, I would definitely take that as it on my shoulders and put myself down for that. But being in the house with all the peers and all the friends that I made and the bi-life family actually taught me that it's not always about me. It is always about the person that I'm dating and their background and their upbringing and their past relationships. That relationship.
Buddy, you've just made four very wet eyes in the studio here.
I suppose I thought it was, so it did seem, I've only seen the first episode, but one of the things that I noticed was, again, just how quickly everyone in the house seemed to connect and be quite comfortable with each other. And that's something else that I have, you know, I've only really been in bi spaces for the last year and a half. And it's been a similar thing where you just kind of, people just feel quite safe and comfortable so quickly, often because we realize we haven't actually felt totally safe and comfortable before.
It was actually quite shocking, because within the first 24 hours, and I think the way that we all bonded so quickly. And I think it's because we were having a chat with Shane on the first day, and we were in there and we were all around this dinner table, which is in the first episode, not ruining it for anyone. But I think we were all talking about our relationships and our past experiences and the way that we and the way we've been treated. And I think that's what made us open up so easily to each other. And from that, there was never a day where we couldn't discuss anything from our past or our past relationships. And I think that was really refreshing because I've never had that before.
I read a beautiful thing on intomore.com. I don't know, never read it before, but apparently now I read it, by Lois Shearing, this piece is. And they say, the bi life has more of a Great British Bake Off vibe than one of Love Island or The Bachelor. The cast isn't competing to couple up with each other. In fact, they're not competing at all. The premise is simple. Several single bi people spending a summer in Barcelona. What do you reckon? Are you more like Bake Off than Bachelor?
I wouldn't say Bake Off. No. I would say Bake Off.
There was more sexy times than on the British Bake Off.
Probably not all competing. I can see where they're coming from with that. But I think the really sweet thing about the bi life is that we were all there to help each other. Yeah. So in the end, we were all winners.
Yeah.
So even though there wasn't competition, well, there is double dates and there is e-dating. So there was elements of competition in there, but it's not the Bake Off. I'd definitely say it's a mix between the Bake Off and the Bachelor.
But that's a great sell, isn't it?
I'm there. The Bake Off has custard.
It's B squared.
Dating shows have love. What could possibly go wrong?
I thought it was a great concept. Yeah, and I don't think this is a spoiler, because I know people were worried about, you know, people said, oh, if you had a bi bachelor or bi bachelorette, which is more likely, because I still think bisexuality is still more socially acceptable in women than in men. And I'll jump onto that in a second, Matt. But I thought, you know, because the whole concept is not that you're all there to date each other, but you're there to basically have, like, you know, go on dates and to kind of be able to help each other out, navigating a lot of the pitfalls that can come with being a bi person dating, because you've got to come out to the person you're on a date with
and
all the time.
Isn't that just the shtick, dating while bi? I don't know about either of you or anyone else, but I know that every date I've ever been in or witnessed between two bi plus people is as much talking to each other about how you're feeling and what your mental health is than it is trying to get naked.
But so I think, but with this one, they're not necessarily dating people who are bi. So it's all done out there. And so there is that kind of pressure. And I noticed in the first episode, I think Daisy does get the whole mention that she's bi, and the guy does bring up, well, I'd be cool with something else. And she's like, even with the guy, he's like, no, if you want to bring another girl in though. And I could just like see, like, I was just like, oh, no.
It's that hero pain thing again.
Sorry, Matt?
With both the dates in the first episode, I think, because when they discussed and how, when you watch it, you'll see that with, especially with Ryan's first date as well, how the girl says it made her feel a bit vulnerable or a bit intimidated, that, I don't know, maybe if she was dating a bisexual man, that when she was dating one, that she may feel that he was looking at girls and boys and it might make her feel a bit more uncomfortable in the relationship. And again, with Daisy, like you just said, the way the guy reacted in that first date as well was pretty much like, oh, we could get another girl involved. But I think that's what we wanted to kind of move away from, because I think we all felt that's how we act, especially.
But I thought it was also amazing to have that scene on television, because, you know, I think, and you would have been able to talk about it in the bi house as well, but I'm not... Was it actually called? Did you call it the Beehive? I've always wanted to call groups of guys the Beehive. But there's so many puns. I'm actually waiting for the puns to start hopefully in episode two. But I suppose, like, it was interesting to see that shown on television, and hopefully in the light of just how uncomfortable it can be, in that tension that comes from having to tell someone your sexuality on a date, where generally people who are monosexual, so gay or straight, can rely on the fact they're on a date in general to say that for them. Now, you didn't date in the first episode, so I can't ask about... Well, actually, no, I can ask because I don't know. So without any spoilers, did you meet some interesting people? Did you have any cringeworthy moments that our listeners can all maybe not look forward to, but brace for and get the chocolate ice cream ready? Or
I am definitely going to say that on my date that there is those conversations that do arise. And I think on nearly, well, I think definitely three out of the five of the ones that I went on, I think you'll definitely see some moments like that.
Okay, good to know.
We also will delve into also how maybe their friends would react if they told them they were dating a bisexual individual. So there is some exciting times to come, and we'll be on the edge of the sofa to see how people do react.
Oh yeah, I'm going to say it. Well, that's what it's usually like when you're on the date as well, isn't it? Just like, okay, how's this going to go?
Yeah.
But was it nice to then be able to go back and debrief and, you know, say, oh, well, they reacted like this, and people would be like, oh, I hate it when they do that, or, yeah, I've been there before.
Well, on some of them as well, this is another little teaser, is that they were actually watching the date live.
Oh, yeah. Shut up.
Mm.
They get to see the reaction firsthand. So, and some of the dates, we didn't even know the other members of the Bylife family were watching as well. So we'd get back to the villa and they'd be like, oh, we've watched the date. And we saw how that person reacted when we saw that. So, yeah.
Because everybody wants to go on a date with their entire family watching them. Although, I don't know,
actually,
maybe going on a date knowing that you have your entire... What's the collective noun for bisexuals? If bisexuals are vampires?
It's a lullabies.
A house. A collective noun for vampires is a house. We know all vampires are bisexual. So, yeah, there you go, the bi house. Going on a date with that army of queers standing at your shoulders, knowing that, you know, even when you get the...
microaggressions.
The almighty D question that... there's still somebody very, very close by, even metaphorically, loving the bejesus out of you.
Yeah, and well, actually, on the first episode, so one of the guys who goes on a date and he's told that all the rest of the people in the house are watching, it's his first ever date.
Oh!
It's really adorable. But he came back and he actually was saying, you know, it actually helped him to know that people were watching and were with him because he was so nervous. Yeah.
Can we find a friendly cafe and set up a closed circuit TV and just get a team of people so
like
that we can just always
Cyrano de Bergerac and all have like little earpieces?
I don't know. It's not creepy to take people on dates.
No, Dev's not.
What do you hope?
Sorry, the phone line's dropping in and out a bit there, Matt. Can you hear us okay?
Oh, yes, I can hear you, yeah.
Great.
Sorry.
Carry on.
So what were you saying? Was that about the watching thing or the Michael thing or the...
I was just saying if you did want to set up a date in a coffee shop, I'd jump on and do some more. Now I'm a seasoned pro.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What is the one thing, if there is one thing, that you hope people take away from this show? You know, I've seen a lot of discussion about this show isn't for the straights and the gays, it's for the bis, and that's awesome. We do know, however, that there are a lot of people who aren't out and there are a lot of people with massive amounts of internalised biphobia and there are a hell of a lot of people who identify as a flavour of monosexual who have all kinds of ideas. So what is it? What's the one thing that you hope people can take away from the bi life?
I'm hoping that by watching it, first and foremost, that obviously, as we know, that a lot of people, especially in the studies now, that nearly half of the 18 to 24 year olds, especially in the UK, identify as bisexual, but they're not actually out.
Yeah.
So I was just hoping that by watching this show, people feel the comfort and see that it's not that hard to actually come out and be yourself and identify as how you want to be. And I think the other point is as well, is like we said before, especially on the first date in the first episode, and you'll see this throughout the whole series, basically, is that people say that when we told them that we were bisexual and that we were attracted to both sexes, that they kind of felt uncomfortable in that situation, thinking that it doubles the chances of them maybe being cheated on, or maybe make them feel insecure about themselves if the person they're dating is checking out both men and women. But I think what you'll learn from watching this is that out of the nine of us that were in the house, that is definitely not the case. And if we can prove people wrong maybe in that case as well, then that would be a great thing to achieve with the show.
Oh, good on you, you bloody trailblazer.
Oh, no. It's just, and so since you've gotten, you know, obviously the film's been shot, it's been edited, it's been put together, it's starting to be aired out here and in the United States and the UK, and the reception's already just, you know, people, we've been anticipating this for a while. I think it's been mentioned, we've mentioned it on our show, like, there's a new development in the bi life, and just, and like wondering if they're going to make one in Australia that we can all try out for. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that, since you've come out of it, so you've mentioned that you're still friends. Did you then, have you become, like, I know that in London, for example, there's AmBi, there's Biscuit, there are bi organisations. Did you feel that you wanted to go and find another bi plus community after having experienced what it's like to be with people who you can relate to on that level?
I think for sure that definitely we have what we have wanted to, and especially later on now that we are actually going to look into getting involved within charities, especially in London, and helping out in the communities and getting involved in them. So I think that is definitely something that we're all wanting to do, but I think it's just been a bit crazy at the moment. Obviously, I came out here, but it's something definitely we'll be aiming to do and get involved with.
Oh, you've got to have your lap of honour first.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, first stop will be one or more of you, as Ruby said, travelling to Australia to launch the Australian Bi Life. I mean, we could just take Shane Courtney back.
I mean, we could try.
I'm open to possibilities. Look, I'm happy to host.
Well you'd be good at that. So, well, Matt, you're actually in Sydney at the moment. We're visiting some friends and enjoying the beaches and everything. And so did you come down to Australia? I know that is that part of like a kind of a tour to kind of promote the bi life and to answer questions about it from both, you know, the bi radio and everything else?
Yeah, well, actually, it's so weird how it all panned out. Because my family are Australian, so I've actually lived in Australia for 2 years, back in 2014 to 2016. So I booked this holiday, and then I found out I had the show, and then it all stemmed together that the show was launching over here as I was coming. So it's just been amazing. It's been a bit of a whirlwind, really. So I'm seeing friends, and then I'm doing all this, obviously, meeting people to talk about the show. I'm actually doing a screening later this evening.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Yeah.
Well, I know that actually, I'm not sure if you heard, but the Sydney Bisexual Network launched just a little while ago. So they've just been setting up and organising to do community events and picnics and things like that. And so we're seeing in Australia this kind of new wave of bi plus groups forming around this idea of, again, being able to spend time with people who you can relate to in the idea of, you know, the multi-gender attraction experience, because it is a whole separate experience in a lot of ways. And I think what I really enjoyed about watching the show as well was that you and the other men on the show were really easy with physical affection. And I think that's something that you don't really see a lot of in reality television. There's a kind of macho thing where men don't really feel like they can touch each other. But because you all knew that you were there to be friends and there wasn't that concern about that, it seemed like it was quite easy for you to show that kind of affection.
Yeah, for sure. And there is a lot of emotional times to come throughout the whole series where there is a lot of tears, there is lots of sparks actually that do come later on in the villa as well.
I was going to ask about that.
And I think it is so beautiful to be able to support people and not feel uncomfortable doing so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's such a support network there, whether it was with the girls or with the guys, because I know that everyone in the house was so close, but there was people that were even closer.
Yeah.
And even when we've come out now, the friendships that have been formed are absolutely incredible. We actually talk nearly every hour of every day, a lot of us.
Oh, yeah. How gorgeous. I mean, it is great to see bisexuality explored and celebrated on screen without being fetishized. But how gorgeous to see cis dudes sharing physical affection on screen and not having it sexualized. I think particularly in what do we call countries that were colonized by Britain and Britain as well? Former empire realms? Us lot.
Just white west.
where it's suspicious and frowned upon for men to show affection to each other. I think that's gorgeous.
And I did love that because, you know, that one of the things that can come up is that, you know, that insecurity I feel when people mention, oh, you're bi, I'm concerned that you'll look at more people. It always seems to stem from that belief that, you know, if two genders have the potential to feel affection sexually, they can't have any relationship but a sexual relationship. So, you know, can men and women just be friends?
Well, I mean, we know it's true that bisexuals don't have friends. Only there is prey. Yeah.
but I suppose that's what I mean. Like, it was seeing that all of you were able to be friends very, and like you mentioned, I was going to ask if there were going to be sparks later because firstly, everyone on the show is extremely good looking.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I was wondering, like, how are y'all going to navigate that?
but are there any inside the house romances?
There is sparks that do generate later in the series. I can't say too much on those.
That's You've said fair. Enough. No. That's all I need to know. Now I can speculate from this point onwards.
But do they then go to that awkward space where people who are bi realise they're crushing on their friends and have no idea what to do? Because I feel it's also like the bi culture.
Bi culture is general awkwardness,
awkward
isn't it?
Awkward crushes on friends.
Yeah. I think it's because obviously we're all so close and then we're helping people on the date and then there is realisations that come from that as well, because it brings up other emotions. But I think it is very endearing to watch, and it was very emotional. It's great to see everyone's friendships blossom and the support that everyone had, and especially Shane and Courtney as well being there. But no, it wasn't Shane and Courtney that had the sparks flying.
Self-love is the greatest love of all.
And I will just mention, like, so there is a lot of talk on that show, and it's still bi in the sense of men and women. Now, as someone who identifies as non-binary, and I know that, you know, and Shane and Courtney also, you know, talk about gender fluidity, did that end up coming up on the show at all, the idea that, you know, there are men and women, but bisexuality can also be attraction beyond that?
Yeah, there is aspects of it, and there is actually Irene on the show that comes in later on is actually pansexual. So they just bring in another aspect of that as well, fluidity. Mm. And you do see some really interesting, like, to explore that.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I think Courtney did a really good video just talking about the differences with bi and pan and the history of those things. Now, before the show, had you really, you know, you mentioned that you knew your sexuality and you're pretty happy with that. Had you, like, looked into the history of bi activism within the UK or anything like that? And have you, after the show finished, did you feel more of an interest in finding out about, you know, the history of bi organisations or bi rights and bi activism?
Definitely. Before going on the show, I didn't. Being honest, I hadn't explored it at all. I just comforted myself and explored that. I'd not looked into the history of it, but it definitely did open up my eyes and made me want to look into the history of it. And we did get heavily involved with GLAAD and did a lot of training and listening to what they've been working over in the States and how that referred and how it actually helped with the producers of the show to produce it so that everything was as authentic as it could possibly be. So I think, and it is something on my journey now, I want to do carry on doing and learning more and learning about the communities as well and getting involved.
Oh, Matt, that's so exciting to hear. I suppose for me it was the same, you know, I knew I was bi. It wasn't until I was sitting with other people who are bisexual and talking about our experiences and realising that the obstacles and the challenges I'd faced were not just my problem. They were a systemic thing that it was happening across that. And then, of course, realising that we had a history because, you know, have you felt that before, you know, sitting with people and talking about bisexuality, that while you knew you were bi, it wasn't really something that was celebrated around you or something that was kind of you were made to feel was a part that was worth looking into and celebrating?
I think that was why, because it's so well, not represented. I think I obviously knew my sexuality, but because it was, I never saw any of it around me, I kind of just thought, okay, maybe I am, you know, like, different. It isn't something that is the masses. Mm. So I think by doing this show, it has actually realised that and educated me. And now I think I definitely do want to get involved with educating other people and going along with that and helping other people. So like I said, get involved with some communities especially. I might even try it when I'm here because I have got 3 weeks where I'm fully, I haven't got any plans whatsoever. So it might be something that I actually look into doing while I'm here also.
You know, flights to Melbourne are really cheap.
And also, if you would like to get in touch with the Sydney Bisexual Network, tell Jane to let me know and I can hook you up with those gals. Because, yeah, we're seeing in Australia... Yeah, we're seeing a lot of stuff. And if you do want to come to Melbourne, you're, of course, very welcome. I host monthly bi-pan drinks.
And I'll be in a show for the next month, so you can have a drink with me after I get off stage or something.
Yeah, I think we've both kind of, and Jen and I have both, and Jen in Perth when she was living there was part of the bi community of Perth, which is a really active community group as well. And I think... they've only been around for a little while, but they're making a pretty big difference.
Yeah,
and
I think we hit the sweet spot between Gen Xers who, you know, maybe didn't even hear the word bisexual until they were in their teens, who then they're now kind of in 30s, 40s, and are frustrated with always having been invisible, and this incredible wave of millennials, which I'm putting you two in that category, who are just coming through and saying, yeah, you know what? Fork you all. I'm here and I'm even more queer than you thought I was. And it's exciting. It's great.
Yeah.
Let's burn it all down.
Radical bye. Matt, but look, I've only seen one episode, Matt, but you were talking before about how you hope that it'll help other, you know, other like bi guys, you know, feel more comfortable with themselves. And I can tell that was obviously important to you because even on the first date where Michael's date talks about being a teacher and how important it is to have that LGBT leaning on teaching and you teared up straight away and it was quite clear that this is obviously the community at large is really important to you. And look, from that one episode, I have no doubt this is going to change a lot of lives and I'm really, really excited to see the responses and I hope that you're going to soak up all that bi love because from what I've seen, there's a torrent of it heading your way.
I certainly will be and I'm honestly just excited if we can even help one person from watching the show. I think that I'd be happy with that. I just hope it does help people on the whole. You know, still comfortable to be who they are and, you know, not shy away from it.
And know that they're not alone.
Mm.
Yeah, and they're not alone at all.
Before we hang up, may I just ask, so I do a monthly show for Triple Bypass called The Representation Hour that's all about bi plus characters in pop culture. Can you tell me who is your favourite bi plus character?
I'm going to say, and I'm only going to say this because of everything that Courtney and Shane did on the show, I'm going to say it's Courtney Act and Shane. Because without just and everything that, how she coaches on the show and everything that she did for us, I didn't expect that. I think that was one of the main things that I was shocked about because when I came on the show, I knew Courtney was hosting, but I didn't know how far her involvement was going to be and be able to sit around a table and discuss my feelings and even talk about my coming out story with someone that I had only just met and obviously such a massive star was just amazing to me because Courtney did really help me, especially.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. And I suppose now we'll be playing this as a podcast later. So we usually try and get everyone we interview to give us one or two, you know, songs to play in between. Now, do you have any songs that are, you know, sexually ambiguous that you'd like us to play before or maybe during the podcast? Or do you have just any favorite queer bangers in general that you wouldn't mind people listening to when they hear you chat?
You know what? I'm going to go with Britney Spears. She's always been my absolute idol.
Yep.
And also my first bit for Australia was when her first album came out. So I know it's probably Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you're on. We can do that. All right, now... Thank you so much, Matt. I hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday here and the screening tonight.
And the sunshine.
And the sunshine. And again, thank you so much for your time. And thank you for being a part of the show. I cried quite a few times during the first episode, so I can't wait to see the rest of it. And hope you have a great rest of your holiday.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait for you to all see it this evening as well.
Cheers. Thanks, Matt.
It's so good. All right. See you. Bye.
Ta-da.
That was Matt from The Bylife, and you're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.